Hey, this is Chuck and Stacy from VOBuzz Weekly.
And you are listening to Geekcast Radio Network. And
yeah!
They are awesome.
Welcome to this latest interview here on Geekcast Radio Network. I am, of course, Mike Blanchard, and I have the absolute pleasure of talking to those global web show hosts from VOBuzzWeekly.com in Chuck Duran and Stacey J. Aswad. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, and of course, they both have done many, many, many other things. Stacy is a prima ballerina. She is the voice at Walt Disney World. So much other stuff. But the current project that they're both embarking on is VOBuzzWeekly.com, which is the global web show dedicated to voiceover. They've talked to the likes of Debbie Derryberry, Rob Paulsen, Tara Strong. You guys haven't had Mark Hamill on yet, have you?
Not yet.
You know, they've got 29 two-part episodes. I think my only problem is, and it's not really a real problem, it's not available in iTunes anymore. It was so easy for me to just download it in iTunes, but I still support the show every Sunday and go to the website. So let's start out with Stacy. You know, I looked you up, and I looked you up on Google and all that good stuff, and it came up with your website, and you have this whole bio here. Where did you, like, when you were a kid, did you say, I want to grow up and I want to be a dancer, I want to grow up and be a roller skater? How did you get into the, I guess, business of being in Hollywood?
Well, it all started when I was 10.
Your voice is too deep to be Stacy there, Chuck.
No, I am that good of a voice actor that I could do that. That was big. I think I've been performing since I was little. I mean, I started skating when I was 5 years old, and I always kind of, I think my family always knew that I was not the typical child that sat still and, you know, I mean, I was a good student in school and knew I had to get good grades, but I wanted to perform every chance I got. So yeah, I started skating when I was 5. I started ballet when I was 9, and kind of around the middle of junior high school, I said, well, I want to go to Juilliard and be a professional dancer. And it just never occurred to me that I wouldn't get to go to Juilliard. I don't think I understood the whole concept of you have to audition. They may or may not accept you. I kind of just said, oh, that's what I'm going to do. So I set my sights on that and was able to go there and graduate from Juilliard and do a lot of really cool things, dancing in companies around the country. And I think, yeah, I always knew that I've done other things with my life. I've had other careers. I was a personal trainer and I've been a school teacher. But in my heart, I always knew that performing was what I loved, and it was part of it. It chose me. I have no choice, really. So the medium for how I perform changes here and there between on camera and voice acting. But at the end of the day, as long as I'm performing and people are enjoying it and I'm enjoying it, that's what kind of makes me tick the loudest.
Awesome. Now, there isn't a type of performing you prefer over the other, is there? Do you prefer voiceover versus the on-camera stuff, or do you...
Well, you know, if I'm having a bad hair day, it's very convenient to have a voice acting day. But, I love live performance. I love, you know, when you have no take two, that you have to get it right the first time. That there's still such a high from doing that. I couldn't pick, you know, it's like picking your favorite kid, you know. I just love to perform. I love the challenge. Each one has their own challenge. I mean, voice acting is so challenging because you can't use any visual cues for the comedy. You have to create it all. Mm-hmm. So I like the challenge of all of them and all the different kind of the high you get from each one.
Yeah, just go to one of Chuck's concerts, you'll get high. Now, Chuck Duran is actually, when I first heard your name, I saw it on the rocksugarband.com website, and I'm like, wait a second, is he part of Duran Duran? Wait a minute, what's going on here? Because I first found out about Rock Sugar through a friend of mine, Benjamin Dolly, and I saw the Don't Stop the Sandman video, and I was like, this is genius. This is amazing. How did they do that? And of course, you know, the Rock Sugar band bio is, you know, they were, you know, trapped on an island, you know, with all the hard riffs and you know, 16-year-old's, you know, pop lyrics.
13-year-old, we were stuck on an island for 20 years with nothing but ourselves, our instruments, our knowledge of metal, and a 13-year-old CD collection.
So tell us the true story behind Chuck Duran.
Well, that, you know what? The bio on the Rock Sugar site is actually pretty close to my life. I mean, the only thing difference is that I wasn't on an island for 20 years. I was here in LA, but everything else is true. No, seriously speaking, like, what do you want to know, Mike? I'll tell you anything.
Anything, everything. You know, what, how did you, like, growing up, because, I mean, I know that you're a musician. I know that music has been a big part of your life just from reading all this stuff on the Rock Sugar website and everything else. But, like, growing up, did you say, I want to be in the in a band for the rest of my life? I want to be as famous as, just off the top of my head, the one example I can think of is James Hetfield or Ozzy Osbourne or any of those guys.
Yeah, and I'll tell you exactly what happened. And going back to the Rock Sugar site, because it even talks about this, and it jokes around, but like I said, there's a lot of truth intertwined in that whole thing. And when I was 13 years old, or 12 or something like that, I didn't play music at all. I was listening to the radio, and the song came on the radio. It's called Do You Feel Like We Do by Peter Frampton.
Mm-hmm.
Or Do You Feel Like I Do, whatever the hell it's called now. I heard that song, and then I heard the guitar solo with the guitar talking and the talk box, and do you feel like I... And I was like, oh my goodness gracious, I have to do that. I have to do that. So literally, the next day, I had a buddy of mine who had a little, you know, Yamaha electric guitar from Sears and a little amp that probably cost him about $39 or something like that. And I had this mini bike, this motorized bike that my parents had bought me. And I said, dude, I'll trade you my mini bike for your guitar and amp. And he's like, okay. And I took that little amp home and that little guitar. I locked myself up in my room with the little record of that song, and I made noise for weeks and hours and hours. Finally, my parents were like, listen, maybe we could buy you some guitar lessons. Would you like that? And I'm like, yeah. So I started taking guitar lessons, and the rest is history, man. I mean, so from that moment on, I was like, I want to be a rock star.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Now, tell us the story, Chuck, of how you and Wacko Warner became friends.
That's a funny story, man. When I was in junior high school, I met Jess, and then we went on to high school. And then high school, when I just landed in high school, I was looking for – I joined a band, and we needed a lead singer. And I met this guy who was one of my classes who kind of looked like this guy from Texas, even though he's from L.A.
You can do his voice.
So, well, you know, he kind of talked like this, and his name was Tex. Hello, my name's Tex. Seriously, I'm not kidding. And I go, hey, man. He goes, how you doing? My name's Tex. What's yours? I'm Chuck Duran, man. And he goes, so are you a rocker? And I'm like, yeah. I'm looking for a singer. And he goes, I'm a singer. And I'm like, well, actually, I'm looking for a different kind of singer, like, you know, a rock singer.
A good singer.
And he's like, oh, you got to meet my friend Jess Harnell. He's awesome. He's like Robert Plant. And I'm like, you're kidding. It's like, nah, man. So literally the next day I go to school and I see that same guy, Tex, running through the schoolyard and these two guys chasing him, covering him in shaving cream.
Oh,
right?
No.
This was before school even started. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And he stops right in front of me and he goes, hey, Chuck, this is Jess, the guy I told you about. Gotta go. And he starts and he goes running again. And I'm like, that's the guy? And so literally, I got to meet him for a little bit, and he goes, "Oh yeah, man, give me your phone number." You know, and he gave me, I gave him my phone number, and he never called me. And so, you know, a week later, I'm like, "Hey man, you never called me." He goes, "Oh dude, I forgot, man. You know, give me your phone number again. I lost your phone number." So I give him my phone number again. He never called me again.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
So even at a young age, Jess Harnell was a forgetful person.
He was crazy.
Thanks.
I mean, he was crazy. The first, oh, I'll get into that in a second. But anyways, the third time I said, "Hey man, give me your phone number." And he goes, "All right, my phone number is blah." No, actually, I'm sorry. I asked that guy, that text guy, for Jess's phone number, and he gave it to me. And I called him up on a Saturday afternoon, and he answered the floor. I mean, the phone in the floor. He answered the phone, and he said, and I said, "Okay, just listen to this real quick." And I put the phone down, and I started playing Eruption by Eddie Van Halen over the phone, right?
Okay.
And we were like, you know, what, 15 years old or something like that.
Right.
I stop and I get back on the phone. He goes, "Oh my God, dude, that was killer." He goes, "Okay, hold on, listen to this." And there's silence. And all of a sudden I hear Led Zeppelin, the Immigrant Song, in the background. And I hear Jess, "Ah!" And he starts singing, and he starts singing the song. And I'm like cracking up, right? And that's how we met. And after that, we became best friends. Literally, we talked every day after that and been in like bands. You know, we've done everything together after that. It's crazy.
They are brothers.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, with Rock Sugar, it exploded. Like I said, my friend Ben pointed it out to me, and I was like, "What is this?" And then I heard, and I know this is an interview about you guys, but sadly we have to talk about Jess. I heard Jess as both Hetfield and Steve Perry, and I'm like, "Oh my God, this is amazing."
Yeah.
So Reimaginator came out. You guys have been touring nonstop. And I know you're not going to give me a lot of detail with this because we talked about this off air.
Yeah.
What is next for Rock Sugar? The world is waiting for Reimaginator Part 2. Please tell us. Give us something.
Nope.
Oh, come on.
All I can tell you is this, man. When we put those songs together, we really, really, really thought it out, which is why a lot of people like yourself, you know, listen to it and go, "Wow." And if you listen to it and you put it side by side with any record that's out today, the actual production quality and sound and everything, it stands right next to anything that you have out there. And because we've spent a lot of cash to get it to sound great, we spent a lot of time to get it to really, really sound great. And it takes a lot to actually not just come up with, I mean, we're coming up with new songs all the time. I mean, we could have three records right now, but it's going into the studio. And as you know, Jess Harnell is a master at what he does. He's also extremely busy. Right. Stacy and I are extremely busy with, you know, VO Buzz Weekly and Demos at Rock here. And it's like, everybody is so, so busy that right. We just haven't had the time to go into the studio and lock ourselves in there and start slamming these things out. And it's not one of those things that just takes, you know, 2 seconds. You know what I mean? It's not done in a weekend. It's a really, right. It's a big time commitment, but we're talking about it.
Right.
We're talking about it.
Yeah.
Now, Stacy said off air that you guys are playing some new songs at the live shows. Now, for someone like me who doesn't travel a lot and doesn't have the extra cash to travel to see a show, seeing as how, you know, apparently the town I live in is too cheap to even have you guys here.
Oh, you couldn't travel because of the ankle bracelet. Sorry, I thought.
No. No. The ankle bracelet came off a long time ago. but can you tell us maybe, for the ones that can't go to one of the shows, can you tell us, like, couple of the new songs that you're playing at the shows?
Absolutely. One of them's called Since Your Immigrant's Been a Barracuda.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So Since Your Immigrant Has Been a Barracuda, it's basically a mashup of Heart's Barracuda, The Immigrant Song, and Since You've Been Gone by
Kelly Clarkson.
Oh my God.
It's crazy.
Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube. You can check it out. It's on YouTube. And the other one, what's the other one called? Oh, the other one's called Any Highway You Want.
It's trying to guess. What do you think? Any Highway You Want?
It's Any Way You Want It from Journey. I know that part.
Yes. Yep.
Any Highway You Want. I don't know.
AC/DC's Highway to Hell.
Okay.
Hi, Journey.
All right. For some strange reason, when you said Any Highway I Want, for some stupid reason, I'm thinking of Any Way You Want It in a Highway to Heaven episode for some stupid reason.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, these songs are both available on YouTube to check out. I'm sure there's videos of it, too. So knock yourself out.
All right. So
just to that would be YouTube.com.
YouTube.com/Chuck4You, I think, is your YouTube handle, right?
Never heard of it before.
There, under Rock Sugar.
Yeah. All right, so VO Buzz Weekly, what made you guys want to do this?
Well, you know, Stacy and I, man, we talk about business all the time, and she's really, really super smart. And I have such a good time whenever we do anything together. We just have just a blast. So We used to go on nightly walks and just, you know, walk for, you know, hours and miles. My feet are wearing off, for God's sakes.
Our inventions.
Yeah. And we talk about, like, you know, maybe things that we could do and things that we could. And we had some really cool ideas. And we're like, you know, that wouldn't work because of this. And slowly but surely, we started thinking about, hey, what if we made a video podcast, a podcast, but had a video show and had it and formatted it more like a talk show,
an entertainment show,
like something that you would see on TV. And, you know, it started kind of like, you know, goofy, but now if you're watching the later episodes, the set's changing a little bit. We just changed our set even a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So the newer episodes, you're going to see some more, and it just keeps improving. But the thing is this, we wanted to bring something to the voiceover community that the voiceover community didn't have, especially for people that didn't live in Los Angeles. We wanted to bring Los Angeles and the world of voiceover to the world. And so this is our gift to everybody in the industry. And the cool thing about it, man, it's like you were talking about earlier, and you said, wow, why aren't you guys on iTunes anymore? It was so convenient for us and blah, blah, and all that stuff. And I totally get that. But this is where we're coming from, and maybe it'll make sense to you, Mike, since you're really smart. And that's this. The time that it takes us to produce these things, we have to call people, we have to put them on a list, we have to get them here, we have to coordinate with their incredibly busy schedules as well as Stacy and I. We have a film crew, we have cameras, we have lights, we have action, we have all this crazy stuff, right?
The post-production, the audio correction, and the editing.
The website alone has cost us so far over $10,000 to do what it needs to do for us to be able to bring this to people. So all this we do for how much? Zero.
Yeah. No. Well, it's not. I'm not complaining that it's not on iTunes. I was just wondering, and I remember I had commented a couple months ago on one of your all's Facebook fan pages on the Facebook fan page. Said, "Hey, why aren't you guys on iTunes anymore?" And the response I got was, "It's a logistical thing." And I understand that, you know, you guys are putting a lot of time and effort, and obviously money, and, you know, trust me, I know all about scheduling because.
Yeah.
You know, 3 years doing Geekcast Radio Network. My buddy Steve and I started this podcasting network, and we've interviewed tons of people, and just, you know, catering to their schedules, you know, making sure that we're available, they're available at the same time to get interviews done. I totally understand it, and I don't have a problem with it now. I was just wondering, it was like it was there and then it was gone, you know?
Well, we also have, depending on our guests and what they do on the show, there's content and licensing stuff. And
yeah.
So we just were trying to kind of protect ourselves that way, too. And but no, I mean, we live, you know, in an iTunes world. And so, you know, it may get there in some form or fashion. But, you know, we put the promo videos on YouTube and we,
right.
You know, so at least people get a little bit of an inkling and then they can come to the website.
The website.
The whole thing.
But, exactly.
But we also really wanted to, when we thought about the show, it was a service for the voiceover world too, but also we wanted to honor the incredible work that these people do in the voiceover business. Everyone from the agents, the writers, the casting directors, not in addition to the actors, because they're these sort of famous non-celebrities, and they do this amazing work, and we really wanted to put a face to the voice for not just the people in the voiceover world, but also the people in that are fans, that are animation fans and cartoon fans, that they could really give these people their due as far as, you know what I mean? Now you have the Comic-Cons and where they get a little bit of exposure there, but we wanted to do something that was much more intimate versus having it be with 100 people or 200 people listening to a panel. Right. We really wanted to get, you know, up close and personal with these guys and gals and give people an idea of how they got to where they are. And even though maybe you're not a voice actor listening to it, it's about humanity. It's about the human story and about persistence and finding out what your dreams are and going after them. So I think what's great, what I love, is we hear from people all over the world that say, I'm not even a voiceover actor. I'm not even in the business, entertainment business at all. But, you know, so-and-so's story about how they just didn't give up and how they got knocked down and got back up, that really inspired me in my life. And I'm a teacher or I'm an accountant. So I just think that's really cool. That we are really proud about putting things out into the world that are positive and inspiring and make people think about their lives and their journey and how they can be the best mom or the best social worker, whatever it is that they do. We're really proud of that because there is so much negativity in the world and we are not about promoting that. So we said, what can we do? And it's just this, you know, it is a lot of work, but you know, it is such a labor of love and we are exhausted, but we are having just the best time. And it's just, we feel so honored that people have embraced it and have come on the show and said, we love what you guys are doing and keep it up. So
yeah, Mike,
that's the plan.
Thanks. That's what I wanted to say, but she said it better.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know, not, you know, I kind of, in this day and age, I kind of have to disagree with part of what she said, where voice actors are essentially faceless. Not so much anymore. Not especially with the internet now. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you got people like good old Yakko Warner, who started his own podcast, who just, you know, takes his iPhone and goes to his friends' houses.
Yeah.
Rob, I love Rob Paulson. He's awesome.
He is awesome, man.
All right. So you've got this weekly web show. Who can you give us a teaser, a preview of maybe the next couple weeks of guests? Do you guys like plan that in advance, like to get the scheduling worked out, or do you not know who's going to be on the next week?
No, we do. I mean, it kind of differs from month to month because depends on our schedule and our guest schedule. Sometimes we'll shoot a bunch of episodes in 1 week and then we don't shoot for 3 weeks. And sometimes we shoot every week for the whole month. Next week we have, or this coming Sunday, we have Ginny McSwain, who is an amazing voice director. She is responsible. She's been in the business since Hanna-Barbera years. She's been in the business since the 70s. She's one of the top voice directors in the business. She's responsible for so many half hours that you see and love. And she's worked on, right now she's working on Transformers Rescue Bots and
Transformers Prime.
Mm-hmm. She's so incredible. And we just interviewed her and she's coming up the next 2 weeks. And she has such a great perspective because she's really been a part of the industry from the beginning, even before there. I mean, basically her job as a voice director didn't exist. It was kind of created. And, so she's really, really fascinating and gives you kind of a perspective that you don't normally get. Yeah. And then after that, we are doing a really, really special episode that we just shot. After that, we're going to have, not necessarily in this order, we have Dave Fennoy, who's the voice of Hulu.
Okay.
And he's done a bunch of really cool games. Walking Dead is a new video game he's got out. And then we've got Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy and Pluto.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, he's amazing. We're actually, we're interviewing him tomorrow. We're actually shooting him tomorrow.
Sweet.
And then we've got an amazingly special episode coming up at the end of August. We're honoring Don LaFontaine. You know, he sadly passed away 4 years ago in September. And he's the kind of guy, he was so generous and so about giving back that we know he would have wanted to be on our show.
Yeah.
we're good friends with a lot of his good friends, and they, you know, they said this is something that Don would have loved. So we are doing a tribute to him, and we have four people who knew him the very best. His wife, Nita Whitaker LaFontaine, and his agent, his only agent for his entire career, Steve Tischerman of TGMD, and his best friend, Paul Pape, and Joe Cipriano, who were the co-founders of the Don LaFontaine Voiceover Lab out here in LA. So it's just, we shot it last week, and we're in the process of putting together what we hope will honor.
It's going to be an amazing tribute, man.
So that was such a privilege for us to sit there in the Voiceover Lab, you know, that he would have loved and been so proud of, with the four people who literally knew him the very best, and to hear him, you know, them talk about him and the influence he still has on them and the voiceover community, because he really revolutionized the trailer movie voice. I mean, that
he was the trailer movie voice.
That didn't exist, but he really
created
that.
Yeah, get this, Mike. Over 5,000 movie trailers, and I heard a couple figures out there, but I heard like combined like commercials for radio and television and promos, like over 750,000.
Yeah.
I mean, the man was just everywhere. I mean, he was the narration voice for anything you wanted to do, whether it was something epic or whether it was something comical. I just, another one of our podcasts, Tooncast Beyond, which covers all manner of, we review all manner of cartoons from 1999 to today.
Yeah.
We are kicking off season two, where we're going to be talking about DreamWorks movies.
Nice.
And I just rewatched the 2001 trailer of Shrek, and that's him doing the Shrek, like, I can see him doing something like really serious and epic and the inner world and all that.
Yeah.
But it's like something like Shrek, which is a, you know, a cartoon comedy. It's like you wouldn't think that that voice would fit it, but it so does, and it's so amazing.
I know.
I think one of the other things I saw him on before, not heard him on as far as animation before he passed away, was he narrated an episode of Phineas and Ferb, and at the end of it, as the Disney Channel logo comes up, he goes, "In a world, there, I said it, happy."
Yes.
No, I mean, because he was such an incredible storyteller. I mean, he literally could take every single word off the page and make it something special. So whether he was doing some goofy comedy or an epic adventure movie or, you know, something really dramatic, I mean, he really, he had such a gift that truly, I don't think, I mean, the bar he has set is so high. I think it's something that's great for us all to strive for, but I don't think anyone's toppling his bar anytime soon.
I think the one that comes closest to me, for me, that I've heard, that obviously no one can copy Don, but you guys actually went to his home studio.
Scott Rummel.
Yeah, Scott Rummel. Thank you. I remember the first name. I couldn't remember the last name. Good old Aquaman. All right. So you've got this amazing web show that you're, you know, that everyone is watching, not just Hollywood is watching, but just regular fans like myself, everything else. Chuck, you've got Demos That Rock, which you are a demo producer for. Tell the audience a little bit about Demos That Rock.
Demos That Rock is my company, and I produce demos for people that want to break into the business, and I help people that are in the business that want to take their voiceover business to that next level, you know, to the Jess Harnell and the Scott Rummel levels. You can't do that by yourself. You need guidance, and you need to do certain things, and you need certain tools to help you get there. And so that's what Demos That Rocks is all about. And, you know, because of VO Buzz Weekly, Demos That Rock is now a global company, because I literally have people coming, calling me from all over the world saying, yeah, you know, I want you to help me produce, you know, a demo that rocks and blah, blah. And I do, and I have, and they have success no matter where they are, because when you produce something for somebody that's just, you know, really, really great, it's a great tool, it just works everywhere, whether you're in Alabama or New York or UK.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Stacy, tell us what you've been up to besides VO Buzz Weekly. Like, I know that you transitioned into theater for a bit.
I have. I've done some.
A couple of years ago?
Yeah, I did. I did a few years ago. I did some plays back east before I moved out here, and then I did a couple since I've lived here. You know, LA is not as much of a theater town as it is back east, and you know, but it was a good experience. And again, it gave me that kind of live performance fix. But right now, I'm really focusing on my on-camera hosting and commercial career and my voice acting career. I just got the gig for an in-show announcer for a game show on the Hub, Discovery Kids.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we're going to be shooting that in the next couple weeks, and so that was really kind of cool. So I'm representing the chick announcers out there.
That's right, baby.
See, the
she's
dudes,
rocking it hard.
The dudes can do announcing, but the chicks can too. So I'm representing us.
Heck yeah.
On that.
Yeah, there's very few female game show announcers.
Right?
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I mean, the show's kind of going in a different direction, and so I'm really excited about it. And that's kind of a big deal right now in my world. And I'm doing I do an ongoing thing for McDonald's, radio and TV spots, voiceover spots for McDonald's. And, you know, every day it's kind of fun because I never quite know what's going to happen in my life. You know, I audition for games and animation and commercials and you just never know. It's always kind of a new and different thing, but I've got an infomercial I just shot about tax lien certificates.
Yep, tax lien certificates, if you can believe that.
And that's, I don't think that's gone on the air yet, but that's a riveting way to build your wealth.
Heck yeah.
Off of people's misfortune. But no, so, you know, it's just kind of, you know, if you ask me next week, there'll be some other stuff going on.
Stacy is kicking butt. We're so proud of her, man.
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah. Proud of you too.
And Mike, you know what? I got to tell you, dude, that you guys over there at Geekcast Radio, well, not you guys, you.
Well, no, it's not just me. It's my buddy Steve, who co-founded it with me, and we have a bunch of other people that produce content as well. So
I know, man, but man, you guys are kicking ass and doing such a great job,
yeah,
man.
Thank you.
Thank you for all that you do. I mean, your interviews are so great, and you guys are so professional and so good about, you know, being timely and all that stuff. And I really, really appreciate, you know, people out there doing that.
Yeah, you're doing it right. You're doing it really, really right.
We try. We're still trying. We are still, in fact, trying to get Mark Hamill for our Batman the Animated Series review show.
I don't want to brag or anything like that, but Mark Hamill calls us like every single week. And he's like, hey, when can I be on VO Buzz Weekly? We're like, Mark, okay, seriously speaking, dude, we have a waiting list. And you're not quite there yet.
We'll talk off-air about this. This is not stuff for the on-air type of deal. All right. So, Stacy, I know just by looking at your website here, not to make the entire thing all about you, but this is the one of the other things I know that you probably want to bring up is your autographed pictures go to Save Animals. Do you want to talk about that charity a bit?
Hold on. Before she finishes that, I just want to tag my Mark Hamill story by saying that I was kidding.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. There you go. All right. Go, Stacy.
Wait, hang on, Mark. I have to answer this question. Hold on. no, thank you for asking. I'm a huge animal advocate. I'm a vegetarian. I love animals of all different shapes and sizes. And what I kind of decided, you know, people are so gracious and for some reason want autographed pictures of me, which is very nice. And so I thought, well, I don't really want to charge people for them and pocket the money, but I thought, what can I do to help things that I'm passionate about helping animals? So I decided I would add, if people want an autographed personalized picture, I would give them that. And for a $20 donation, all of that, every penny goes to various animal charities that I support and work with around the country. And so people can go to my website, stacyjaswa.com, and pick. There's six different pictures they can pick, and know that every single penny will go to help animal rescue organizations and organizations that are all about helping end animal homelessness and cruelty and make the lives better for the animals, which is what I would love. I'd love in my lifetime to see the end to animal homelessness. That is my dream that I'm working hard for.
Yeah, and of course people want pictures of you. You're the hottest chick in Hollywood next to Tara Strong.
Right on, baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Candy. Yeah, people are like, oh, you know, are they going to have a Stacy walk around character at Disney World? But as far as I know, that's not in the plans.
The funny thing is they're going to stick you in the suit if that happens.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's funny because people will email me and say, hey, we were at Disney World and we didn't see you there.
But like, we heard you.
Yeah, I know. But they think someone thought I lived in Cinderella Castle, literally. I was like, no, I'm sorry, I don't.
All right, Chuck, do you have any charity work that you do that you want to pimp out or anything like that?
Nope, my charity work is Stacy.
You, yourself, and I?
Everything I get, I give to her. Oh. Everything I have, I give to her.
Oh, you gave her your heart, so there's not much left.
I'm not even me anymore. She's me.
Yeah, and I gave him 4,000 Swarovski crystals on his guitar.
Whoa.
One by one. You've seen his guitar, right?
Yeah. Have you seen the video of my guitar that she pimped out?
Yes, I did see that.
Crazy, man.
I do that, and I make his stage pants. I make him custom pants he can wear on stage. So when he goes out on the road, I'm like, go with my love. Here's your guitar and your new pants.
Yeah, that's the one thing I miss about the about your YouTube channel, Chuck, is the Rock Sugar Monday videos. The first one I ever saw was the one with the school teacher when she keeps slapping Jess. And I was like, they need to do more of that.
That was the School of Rock. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
That
man.
Was a very good one, actually.
Yeah, you guys,
because I was in it. That was a pretty funny one. That was a pretty funny. Yeah, with the cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Nutty, 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 man. So I would like your listeners, man, if they're out there, which they are, yes, to come support us, man, and come learn about the animation business and the commercial business and the whole voiceover industry and be entertained and at VOBuzzWeekly.com. Come join us. It's free.
Yeah, get inspired. Get inspired about your life and whatever you do, because there's a lot of great people out there telling their stories and living their dreams, and that's an amazing thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's just it's an absolute joy to see it every Sunday. I don't particularly like the cliffhangers, but hey, that's the format that you guys have, and it's like, it, you know, it works because it keeps, you know, bringing people back every week.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it's difficult for someone to sit down for potentially an hour and
Yeah, trust me, I completely understand, and I appreciate it. It's just, it's like one of those things where, because it is such an interesting show, where you get to like the last like 4 seconds and it's like, wait,
no!
Continued next week? No.
Oh, oh God.
Yeah. Dude, what we do to compensate for that is on the following one, we just go straight to the interview.
That's
no,
right.
No bull, you know?
Right, right. That's yeah. True. That's
we're not totally heartless.
No, man, you got to take the good with the bad.
Oh, I know. All right, so do you have any... All right, each of you. Chuck, what is your one tip for someone making a demo?
Don't make one unless you're absolutely 100% ready to make one. How do you know you're ready to make one? Study with somebody who is reputable in the business and let them tell you you are now ready to make a demo. Acting, voice acting, people think that voice acting is like, oh, it's easy. You're just talking to a microphone and it's cool because you're in your pajamas and nobody knows what you're wearing and blah, blah, and you don't have to look great. And all that is true. But it's not easy. It's the hardest kind of acting that you could possibly do because you need to convince people solely with the sound of your voice. Yeah. And so you really have to be a great actor, especially nowadays. In the older days, you could have a great voice and people were like, oh, wow, that's a fantastic voice. And you could do stuff based on that. Nowadays, it's not the case anymore. It's not about having a great voice. It's about being a great actor. So when you can consider yourself and other people can consider yourself a great actor, then you're ready for a demo. And then you call me.
Stacy, what about you? What are some of your, like, one major tip you could give people of not just getting into the voiceover business, but getting into, you know, whatever part of acting that people want to get into?
You know, I think that if you can't envision, you know, at the end of the day, it's not an easy business. But I think if you believe in your heart that you have what it takes, that you're willing to work at it as a business, not just as a creative person, if you have that mindset and that you're just absolutely, you have no choice. There is nothing else you think that you can do to make you happy but be in the entertainment business in whatever fashion that you choose, then I think you need to go for it. I think you need to believe that you can do it, and that every time you have a setback, you can look at it as a punishment or as an opportunity to learn and grow and do better the next time and be stronger. So, you know, I come from the place of nothing's impossible as long as I'm breathing. So I think it's really important that you believe in yourself and you surround yourself with a team of people that believe in you as well and that can help you with the business side of it, and that you do everything that you can do and don't rely just on those people, your agents, your managers, to do it for you, because at the end of the day, it is your business. You are the CEO of your company, and you have to approach it with that kind of mindset, because talent is great. If you look great, you sound great, but that's just a small piece of it. You have to know how to do the business.
Awesome. And you go to people like Chuck to learn how to do that.
Exactly. and not just because he's sitting here with his hands around my throat. I will say that Chuck is extremely unique. He's been doing this for decades, and he is not just somebody who's going to come in, take your money, and record some stuff on some Pro Tools tracks. He knows exactly what to do and gives you amazing steps that if you are ready to go into the business, he really customizes your marketing plan and your journey to what your goals are and what your process is. Mm-hmm. So he really is very, very special like that. And he does so much more than just record your demo. He really takes you through the steps of what you need to ultimately do to get an agent and start working and build a career. So, you know, he's really incredible at what he does, and he's very passionate about it, and he loves to help people and loves to make people's dreams his dreams so that you're all on the same page. So, you know, I met Chuck. He did my demo. That's how I met him. And
thank God.
That's how you guys fell in love, huh?
We fell in you know, he gave me my first job before I had an agent and hired me for campaigns before I had representation, and really believed that I had something special and saw in me that I was more than just a voice actor, that I really understood that this is a business, and really did all he could to help me. And, you know, we worked together for a couple of years, and it was great. And so now doing this venture with him of Via Buzz Weekly just makes sense, because we both have a passion for it, and we both want to help people, and we both want to give something great to the world. And so I think it's kind of a nice, you know, he's got more experience, years of experience than I do, but I have experiences in that he doesn't have. So it's kind of a cool combination. We kind of fill all the gaps between the two of us.
I always tell people that Stacy, you know, whenever people tell me, oh, you know, the business is slow and nobody's doing that great and blah, blah, blah. And all, Stacy is my example of there's always somebody out there making it happen. You know what I mean? For every person that you find that goes, oh, you know, I can't because blah, 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 she's out there proving them wrong and making it happen. And that's what I love about Stacy. She is a voice actor in the trenches. You know what I mean? She's every day she's building her business and going forward and giving it 150% and just knocking it out of the park, man. And that's what you have to do. You have to do that.
Well, and I would add to you kind of a button. On my tip is also, you know, this business can be really vicious about comparing yourself to other people.
Yeah.
And I would just caution, you know, and I have to check myself on this every single day, that we each have our own journey, and it's very easy to say, well, why did she get that audition, or I can do that and she can't and he can't. When you're turning your head all the time, looking over your shoulder, comparing yourself and checking what other people are doing, you're losing focus and passion and energy towards your journey. So I would just say you need to really focus on what your prize is and your brass ring. And, you know, there's room enough for everybody. There's work enough for everybody. So I think that that's just a really kind of a negative waste of energy to focus on comparing.
So, yeah, be sure to stay tuned to VOBuzzWeekly.com. They have a new episode every Sunday. Do you guys want to close out with your traditional closing?
That's right.
Just remember,
you always have time for a little buzz.
Woo!
It's time for a demo that rocks.
Hey, everybody. It's Chuck and Stacy from VO Buzz Weekly.
That's right. And you're listening to Geekcast Radio Network every day because they rock.
Thank you once again to Chuck and Stacy from VOBuzzWeekly.com. And as a special treat, off air, I asked Chuck if I could use the new Rock Sugar songs that we talked about in the interview, and he did give me permission to do so. So first up is Any Highway You Want It. One badass track right there. And the next track up is Since You're an Immigrant Barracuda. Here we go, only on GCRN.
Since just listened to GeekCast Radio on the GeekCast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadio. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.